In the name of Jesus, the text for the sermon comes from the Holy Gospel according to St. John, as we heard a few moments earlier. They took Jesus and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of a skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. Jesus told his disciples to take up their cross and follow him. He can do that. He can expect that. He can demand that. And he can empower that because he took up his cross on our behalf. Bearing his own cross after such horrendous torture that it seems impossible he could have even stood, let alone dragged himself out of Jerusalem, let alone himself and even the beam of his cross. We know from the other evangelists that he wouldn't have even made it to Golgotha had it not been for the Romans pressing someone else to help him. He was already so weakened by his struggle. Already, as he says in his scriptures, pouring himself out, a drink offering, seemingly wasted, poured out on the ground, yet a drink offering of his blood, which becomes new life for us. As Jesus left Jerusalem bearing his cross, he bore also our sins. The sin with which we are born, the sins we have committed since then. Our sins of thought, word, and deed, our sins of omission and commission. The sins of which we have learned so much, if we faithfully studied our catechisms, if we paid attention to the scriptures. Jesus reached back throughout all of human history and extended himself forward to its very end that he might take all of these things upon himself so that he might draw all men unto himself. The evangelist testifies not just of the blood and water, but of the entire account that his testimony is true, and he knows he is telling the truth, that you might also believe. And you must believe that Jesus did this on your behalf. He was, is, and always will be the sinless Son of God, yet he also, according to the flesh, which he received through the Virgin Mary, is the Son of Man. Perfect God, perfect man, and perfect offering on our behalf. Already in the Psalms, we see not just words of prophecy, but Jesus also identifying himself with the human condition. David didn't only say, my God, why have you forsaken me, in order to point forward to one who was centuries away from being born, but he also felt, at least in part, that way himself. And so do we. Why has God forsaken Jesus? So that he will not truly forsake us. So that he can identify us when we are at our lowest lows, mentally, physically, and especially spiritually. Why did Jesus carry his own cross out? So that with that cross and on that cross, he could put to death the alienation between God and man. So that man would not have to say, where are you, God, but rather could identify with a God who is as close as the Word, as baptism, as the Supper. Likewise, in the 31st Psalm, even though so much of this Jesus will appropriate for himself, into your hand I commit my spirit, so also he does that on our behalf. Because his life, his breath, his spirit is already in God's hands. But he purposely, intentionally, and verbally commits it there that we also might commit our spirits into the hands of the one who cares for us. Because he never wavered, because he always trusted, because his relationship with his Father was perfect. As he commits his spirit, he also commits those of ours who believe. With him, we disregard those who worship false gods and love the true God, but only because that is what he did. psalms that we sang speak of affliction. Wasting from grief. Wild bulls and savage lions of evil men attacking one who is surrounded, helpless, and innocent. And that too he carried out on his cross, that we who are guilty might not be surrounded and savagely and forever torn to shreds. Our earlier songs were somber. They were measured. They reminded us of the passive nature of Jesus going to the cross. But here also, we see the active nature. Sing, my tongue, the glorious battle, where men pick up knives and swords and spears and guns. Jesus picks up the cross, his weapon against Satan, against hell, and against death itself, is a piece of wood that humanly he cannot hardly carry. And with that, death dies, Satan is vanquished, and we are at peace with God. He won by surrender, but yet he won also by actively, gloriously going out to battle. We speak with Paul of fighting the good fight of faith. And we can do that because Jesus took up arms for us. We can wield the sword of the Spirit as well as the rest of the full armor of God. And we can know that it will dress us well and protect us and give us everything that we need for every trouble in this life, because Jesus bared himself to all of the wounds that we should have received. But yet in bearing himself naked, he also bore arms against the one who would strip us down to nothing. We can't imagine fully just the weight of that crossbeam after the torture, after the night without sleep, after the harsh treatment, the beating, the whipping, the spitting, the thorns, let alone piling on the sins of today, or the sins of this past week, or the sins of this past month, or year, or decade. How would you like to pick up all at once every one of the sins that you have ever committed? And with or without cross, Christ standing up under that load. Yet as he carried out his cross, he carried not only those sins, but my sins. The sins of those who are gathered here together with you and me. And the sins of all mankind from Adam till end. It was such a simple statement John gave us. They took Jesus and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of a skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. Yet in that statement we get a picture of everything that he had been doing throughout all eternity, and particularly since he took on human flesh in the incarnation. And most especially since he openly declared war against Satan in his baptism. He had been pointing, he had been angling, like a general, seemingly with an inferior force, trying to trap a superior enemy. And just when it seemed he might win, it seemed that he lost, but instead he truly won. He maneuvered Satan exactly where he wanted him. Carrying his cross out, he drove it like a spear into the heart of the devil. And we need fear him no more. They led him out, and he carried his cross to the place where they crucified him, and with him two others, and yet with him also hundreds, thousands, millions, even billions of others. Because as he was crucified, as he died on that cross, he died carrying the sins of us all. And so, as he lay in the peace of death, He died knowing that he had won us peace that will never end. In the name of Jesus, amen.